Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships, BGHR, live radio broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Star Williams. It is a wonderful day. Happy Independence Day for the Americans that are listening to the program. We thank God for our nation that He created and that He founded, under one nation, under God. And we thank you, Lord, united, that we will continue as one nation under God, and that we will not deviate from our purpose and our original intent for coming into being. And today we're continuing our series on walking in the wisdom of God. Wisdom keys, walking in God's wisdom. If ever we lived in a time and a day and age where we needed the wisdom of God, it's now, where many voices are speaking, many people have many different opinion and viewpoints of what is right and what is wrong. But really, we need God's opinion, and what He holds is right and what He holds is wrong is true, and that is the standard by which everything is measured, everything is judged, and that is, of course, His Word, the Word of God. The Bible is His instructions for living and walking rightly and justly. And I hope that that is your desire as well. As the world gets darker, the light of God should shine brighter. And I, too, believe that we are living in a day where there is just a distinction that is coming amongst the church and even the body, the people that are Christians. And the true Christians are going to rise up. And so we want to know, really, what does that look like and what is God speaking to us in these days and in these ages. Our foundation is Proverbs. That is a book of wisdom. Solomon was one of the wealthiest, wisest men that walked the earth, and God gave him His wisdom when God asked him anything he wanted, anything he desired. Solomon asked for the wisdom of God and so that he would lead the people. And that was so pleasing to God. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for wealth. Although all of that came with the wisdom that God gave him. But wisdom was his first pursuit. It was his first desire. And that just is so profound. And we know that he wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. Of course, he wrote, Song of Solomon is attributed to him as well. And so we wanted just to continue. The wisdom of God is given so that we may, according to Proverbs 1 and 3, that we may attain wisdom and discipline, that we may attain understanding and insight, that we may acquire a discipline and a prudent life. A discipline and prudent life. That's not, a discipline and prudent life isn't something that has been antiquated. It's not a thing of the past. It's not, it hasn't, gone away. God is still requiring that those who follow Him live a disciplined and a prudent life, and also that they do what is right, what is just, and what is fair. And so that's really the point and the basis of wisdom. And so really we can see wisdom is summed up in one person. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that is, you're going to see all the wisdom that God wanted to say and is saying to the earth today, and that's in the person of Christ Jesus. And so I wanted to just share with you, just to continue on this, we'll be talking on this topic for the next year or so. And I believe that in light of the recent Supreme Court decision to legislate throughout the United States of America same-sex marriage, that we need the wisdom of God more than ever, because obviously that is the wisdom of the world, that was speaking through that decision. That was the wisdom of man, not the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God, and we can look in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6, what God has to say regarding this subject. And we, of course, we can see his viewpoint on sexual immorality throughout this entire chapter. So we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll look at, we'll begin in verse 9, 6 and 9. It says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. We'll say that again. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, neither thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, that's, to me, it doesn't get any plainer than that. It doesn't, a four-year-old, I think, could understand that. You know, and the Bible says, Jesus says, unless you come to me like a child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not complicated. You know, it's plain. We don't be deceived. In other words, Paul wouldn't have said that to the Corinthians if there wasn't an opportunity to be deceived. If there wasn't an opportunity to call what is wrong right and what is right wrong. And so he made it so clear. And he lists homosexual offenders amongst all these other things that don't please God. And these people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so, in other words, don't be that. Don't be a homosexual offender. Don't be a male prostitute, an idolater. Don't be greedy or a thief or a drunkard or a slanderer or a swindler. Don't do any of that. And I love it how, and this is, I believe, too, another part of this whole recent thunderbolt of shift in our nation that has happened with the Supreme Court, that I believe it's going to be important now for the church to not just say, obviously, you know, the church, the true church, is going to stand on the side of God, which says this is not of God, not to celebrate homosexual marriage. But I believe it's going to be important to help homosexuals know that, no, you weren't born that way. God didn't create you to be this way. And that's really a whole nother agenda that has really been very communicated within our culture. The whole generation of young people think that there's nothing that you can do, that you, this is a choice, this is just fate. I mean, this is not a choice, it's fate. It's how God created me to be gay or to be a lesbian. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And so I believe that God is going to raise up the church, not just to be a voice to say, but also to say, you know what, if you are bound by homosexuality, then God can deliver you. And let me show you how. Let me help you be delivered from this bondage, because that's what it is. It's a bondage by the enemy. It's a demonic influence. It's a demonic, unclean spirit sent from the pits of hell to destroy the life of a person. And it's something that is, and so I believe that God is going to even raise up. And Paul even here made it very clear. That's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. In other words, God cleansed you. And he not only cleansed you, but he set you apart. That's what sanctified means, to be set apart unto God. And you were sanctified. Now, how were you sanctified? By your own work? By your own self? No. You were, and not only were you washed and sanctified, but you were justified. And what does that mean? It means you were forgiven, and you are cleansed, just as if you never did. Just as if you never sinned. Just as if you never committed a treason against the course of heaven. Just as if you never sinned against God and offended his word and broke his laws. That's what it means to be justified. And how are you washed? How are you sanctified? How are you justified? It was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of our God. Not just any spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's called holy for a reason, okay? Because he's right, he's just. He's wise, and, you know, he's the opposite of wicked. He's the opposite of sin. He's the opposite of, you know, he's holy, he's righteous, he's pure and peaceable and loving and cleansing and powerful. And, you know, he washes and sanctifies and justifies God's people. So we're talking about the wisdom of God. If you're just tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships, I am your host, Pastor Star Williams. And we're taking a time today just to speak on a topic that has really been a huge topic of conversation in our nation of the United States of America, conversation around the dinner table, at the water cooler, at work, on Facebook, on Twitter. Everyone's talking about the Supreme Court justice decision. And as someone said, you know, they're not really so supreme, because there is a higher court in heaven that God is wanting his church to appeal to and to seek and to inquire of, the court of heaven, the heart of God, because there's a higher court that will ultimately receive the last word. And as we know, God is going to get the final say, and those who are on his side will be winners, and those who aren't on his side will be losers. And so God is wanting us to be on his side. Just because something is a law does not mean it's God's law. It does not mean that we Christians are to support it and follow it, even if it comes through a mouth of a president. Even if it comes through, you know, a mouth of an authority, if it doesn't line up with God's word and his authority, it's not true wisdom. It's a wisdom, what the Bible calls a wisdom of the world. It's a wisdom of man. And we want to walk in the wisdom of God. We want to walk in the heavenly wisdom, the divine wisdom. So, I am just going to continue. I wanted just to take that opportunity just to share that. And this is a great chapter. You know, it continues to talk about, immorality, sexual immorality. This is something the church, this is in the Bible, and I believe the church really needs to preach on these sermons. They may not be comfortable. They may not get a whole lot of applause. They may not get a whole lot of whatever. But you know what? The church, the people of God need to know what God has to say in his view, his wisdom, his understanding. And so it goes on to say that this was something that the Corinthian church actually said often. You know, this was a saying in verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And so Paul is using this, their same, kind of the same lingo to get this point across to them regarding sexual immorality and being in Christ. So as he's saying that they say, 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by any of them. Food for the stomach and stomach for food. But, he says, God will destroy both of them. And then he says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality. So in other words, he was saying, they say, everything is permissible for me. You know, in Romans, you know, the Romans road is like the gospel kind of compacted into one book. And it talks about how when we're in Christ, the grace of God isn't a license so that we can just sin and do whatever we want. And so that was the perspective that he was speaking here, the Corinthian church. You know, it's like everything is permissible. Of course, everything is permissible. You can do whatever you want. You can, you know, have sex with a dog if you wanted to. That's called bestiality. But you know what? Not everything Paul is saying is beneficial. Okay, everything is permissible, but not everything is good for you. Not everything is beneficial. And then he says, everything is permissible. And then Paul says, but I will not be mastered by anything. Think about it. You know, there's sexual immorality. It's a bondage. It's a trap. And you know what? You can't get loose from it. It is a master. Unless the power of God delivers you and sets you free, and the Holy Spirit sanctifies you and enables you to walk free, you will not be free from homosexuality, from lust, from perversion, unless you surrender and submit yourself to the power of God, and He delivers you and takes you and sets you free, because it is a master. So Paul is saying, yeah, everything is permissible, but you know what? If money is your idol, then it's your master. If alcohol, your idol, then it's mastering your life. If sex, you know, is what you feel like, and that's your idol, then it's going to master your life. And that means if that's mastering your life, then God isn't mastering your life. You are literally in a prison, locked up, chained up, can't get out, not even if you wanted to. But the power of God is what enables freedom to come. And it takes a heart that is turned toward God, that you just literally surrenders, throws the hands up and says, Lord, I give up. I yield myself to you. And at that moment, the Lord will step in and do what he does best. And that's save, that's sanctify, and that's to justify you by his name, the name that can only save, the name of Jesus Christ. And his spirit will sanctify and cleanse and wash. So we live much like the Corinthians lived in this day. We live in this day today. Everything is permissible. Do what you want. You know, it's okay. We're free. And that's why I believe that this Supreme Court legislation has gone forth into our nation. And it's not even, I don't believe, because really homosexual marriages, and people really don't understand this, is such a small minority group within our nation. It's less than 1% of the people who are pushing for this marriage and the same-sex marriage and the legislation, and who are very vocal and outspoken, less than 1%. I mean, it's such a small fraction of a percentage. Yet, why has this decision gone forth on a widespread scale? Why has it gone forth as a voice from our leaders, the leader of our nation, because the enemy has an agenda to pull in and lure in a whole generation of people, because this now communicates that even if someone wasn't thinking about homosexual or being a lesbian or gay, they're thinking that maybe this is what I need to do. Maybe this is the path that I need to take. So it introduces and it suggests a whole lifestyle shift for those who were never even thinking in the first place about this. And so it really sets a tone to say that, okay, this is okay. This is the way to live. This is the way that you must be. This is okay. This is a new fad. This is cool. This is, now acceptable. And that is such a lie and such a trick of the enemy, because it's not cool. It's not acceptable. And it's not something that God has instituted for his people. So everything is permissible, but everything is not beneficial. Everything is permissible, you say, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both, in other words. So God is the master, and he is the ultimately the judge of our lives. He has the ability to not only take our life, but also destroy our soul in hell, send our soul to hell. And so he is ultimately the authority, the supreme authority that we will have to answer to, that we will have to give an account of our lives to. So, and then he goes on to say, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He's using their same thought pattern here, and he's making the point that God is the one that desires. God is the one. In verse 19, it says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We're talking about the wisdom of God today. Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify and honor God with your body. And in verse 14, it says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us also. Talking about resurrection from the dead. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. And that's the lackadaisicalness that comes with this whole idea. Everything is permissible, sort of just a laissez-faire attitude. It's so innocent. It's just friends with benefit, or it's just one night. It's just one encounter. But that one encounter is not only on a physical level, but it's on a spiritual level. It's on an emotional level. And it takes place, most importantly, in the spirit realm, and you will really become one with that person that you are having that sexual encounter. It's same sex, opposite sex, with an animal, whatever. You're becoming one with that, and those spirits are now gaining entrance into your soul and into your life. And unless you, again, are delivered by the power of God, then they'll master you. They will lead you, and then it will become more progressively, worse and worse. One night it'll turn into, a week, and then it'll just become more, or one person will turn into, become a master, three and four and five, and then it just becomes progressively more perverse and more twisted. That's the nature of sin. That's the nature of perversion and lust, is that the enemy, the spirits and the unclean spirits drive, just draw, they're literally slave masters to drive people literally to their death, spiritually, physically, mentally to their death. And so it's not just, you know, only physically. It's not just a physical encounter. When you have sex with someone, when you have that encounter with not just, you know, intercourse, anal sex, oral sex, you know, any kind of sex, pornography, you know, touching, fondling, and we have to just lay it out on the line. Those there, it's not just a physical encounter. It's a spiritual encounter. It's an emotional transfer of unclean spirits. And literally, it's an entrance into the demonic realm. It's a gateway, literally, that the demonic has into your life. And so that's why he says, hey, that's why, did you not know you unite yourself with a prostitute? You're one with her or him. For it says the two will become one flesh. You're not becoming one flesh, but it's a spiritual matter. You know, it's a spiritual becoming one. And so it says, verse 17, but, Paul is saying, but I want to give you this spiritual truth, and I want you to know that he who unites himself with the Lord, okay, is one with him in spirit. So it's the same. Goes either way. If you unite yourself with a prostitute, you're one with a prostitute. If you unite yourself with the Lord, you are one with the Lord. And that's what God desires for his children, his sons, and his daughters, is to be one with him in heart, in spirit, that our bodies would be his body, would be his possession, that he can work and move through, that he can use for his glory and for his honor, that he can possess. The enemy is possessing many people. It's time for God to possess some people and to completely take over and have full reign in the lives of his children. So Paul says in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Run! All other sins that a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Think about it. Think about that. It's one of the worst, most grotesque things that we could commit, sins against our life, is to sin sexually immoral. And then he says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. In other words, when we are in Christ, when we are truly in God, we don't belong to ourselves. We don't have the rights to our life anymore, because at that moment, we've given up the rights to our life to God. We've said, Lord, I am yours. I surrender. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own. Take my life and use it for your glory. Use it for your honor. Use it for your purpose. I am set apart for you, not for the purposes of the world, but for your purpose and your goal and your plan. And that's God's desire. And you know what? That is where your life is. That is where my life is. That is where the life spring. That is where we become planted and we flourish and we grow. We produce fruit that will remain. Not in this other worldly idea and worldly wisdom and agendas of the kingdom of darkness that try to go forth. We have to know God, and we need to know his word. If ever before, we need the wisdom of God to do what is right, to do what is just, to do what is fair, and to live a godly and honest and prudent life unto the Lord. If ever were a time, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, boys and girls, now is the time for you and I to know God's voice, to know his word for ourselves, not just to to have it fed to us one day a week or however many times we go to church, but to feed ourselves the Word of God. Because God says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thank you so much for tuning in today as we focus specifically on sexual immorality and perversion, and we wanted to know the wisdom of God and God's perspective. Thank you for being a part of the program today, and I just pray that if there is any area in your life where you are struggling, where you are being mastered by the powers of darkness, that you would just surrender in your heart, that you would have a heart of obedience to God, that God would take your stony heart and turn it into a heart of flesh and a heart toward Him and a heart toward His plan and toward His purposes, and that anything that has been troubling you, that as you surrender your life to God, that those things would not trouble you anymore, that you would not be mastered by sin, that you would not be mastered by the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. And so I just pray freedom as we celebrate this Independence Day, that it would be an Independence Day for you from the powers of darkness, from the plans of the enemy for your life, that you would be independent and that you would be only dependent upon God, upon Jesus Christ, and upon His precious blood that He shed for your salvation, for your cleansing, for your washing, for your sanctification, and for your justification, and for your resurrection from the dead. Thank you for being a part, and I pray God's peace and His shalom over your life and His freedom and deliverance, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God bless you. Shalom. Happy July 4th. Happy Independence Day in God. Bye-bye.